Amen. We're considering this week the five distinct words of worship that occur in the scriptures, three from the Hebrew scriptures and two from the Aramaic in the New Testament, that tend not to get translated, but tend to be transliterated. And so whenever you hear them in another language, when you hear hallelujah from in Swahili or in Russian or whatever, you recognize the word. And there are at least five of those words that the late Dr. David Hubbard pointed out to Chuck Fromm years ago when he heard the name of his company, Maranatha. It's one of those words we'll get to next week. And they're dynamic words, but we're not just talking about working that lexicon of praise into our song services and into our public worship services. We're talking about awakening the dynamics behind those words, the living realities behind those words in our hearts and in our lives and what we do. There have been few books, I can think of maybe one other, that have been as big a lightning rod in my lifetime among Christians as the book The Shack, written in 2007. Who all has read The Shack? Yeah. And people either loved it and found incredible healing through it, or it just irked the daylights out of them. And they didn't want to have anything to do with it. I was a mixed bag. I thought it was a terribly, poorly written book, but I found myself just wiping tears all the way through the dang thing. It was released in 07. It was a USA Today bestseller and had sold 1 million copies by June of 08. It was the number one trade paper fiction in the New York Times seller from June 08 until early 2010. By 09, it had sold 10 million copies. It touched a nerve. The author, William P. Young, said that The Shack is a metaphor for the house you build out of your own pain. The house you build out of your own pain, and we all carry it. Some kind of pain. It's a metaphor for the places you get stuck, the places you get hurt, the places you get damaged. Probably nothing was more controversial about The Shack than Papa. Papa, the father figure of the Trinity. The book is now being made into a movie, and Papa is being played by Octavia Spencer. Now, I have had conversations with friends who are astute. They're scholarly ways. They're aware. They have educated opinions about the triune God. Not stupid people, not backwards people, who are so irked by the whole idea of an African-American woman being God the Father, called Papa, they just can't figure out what to do with it. I was talking to a Facebook friend not long ago, a really good songwriter, and he was so irked by this idea. And I had posted the trailer of the movie on my Facebook page when I heard that it was being made, because the trailer looks like it's going to be a really good movie. And he was just completely irked by it. And I said, don't you see, Tim, his name is Tim, I said, Tim, don't you see that your reaction means that the author has succeeded in what he was trying to do? He was trying to slap you in the face and say, you've got to rethink God. You've got to get a bigger idea of God. And I said, Tim, an African-American woman, female, is every bit in the image of God as you and I are, white boys. I said, you got to understand God is so much bigger than what we think. Now, I'm not advocating that God is either male or female. Both genders reside in the triune God. I'm not advocating that God be called Papa. That's not it at all. But today we're talking about the term Abba. We heard it in the scripture from Galatians Thank you so much for that reading. It was just precious hearing it from you. The word Abba only happens three times in the New Testament, the Aramaic word. It happens in Galatians. It happens in Romans. We've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it happens in Mark 14 when Jesus is sweating great drops of blood in Gethsemane. And he says, Abba, Father, please let this cup pass from me. Incredible intimacy. Abba, Father. There was a theologian, German theologian in the 70s who, he didn't actually say that Abba translated daddy. This is Joachim Jeremias. But things that he wrote about Abba had to do with it was like childlike talk, little children's chatter. And it became popular for a while to say that what Abba really means is daddy. That was very popular to be preached. I've really bought into that. And for those of us who have daddy issues, daddy wounds, and so many of us do. Another popular Christian book a number of years ago was by John Eldridge, Wild at Heart, and he wrote about the father wound. So many of us have had father wounds. We need to be able to relate to God as daddy, as papa, and probably most appropriately as dear father. Because the three times that Abba happens in the New Testament, it always happens with a more formal term, pater, father. Abba, father, dear father. And so there's both an intimacy and a reverence. Both a reverence and an intimacy. I was 13 years old when my dad died suddenly of a heart attack. My last living memory of him was, it was a school night. He kissed me goodnight, kissed me on my forehead as he had every night of my life. I went to bed. He was up and off to work the next morning before I was up and off to school. When I got to the band hall by mid-morning, I saw my uncle and pastor enter the band hall. What are they doing here? They had come to tell me that my dad had died. Horrible, horrible loss. My dad, you know, Jesus said that he dwelt in the bosom of the Father. Jesus dwelt in the bosom of the Father. I can remember my dad. He was a stern disciplinarian. He wanted me to live right, to do things the right way. And if I didn't, I got chided for it, and sometimes my backside got burned for it. It was painful. He used a belt, and it hurt. Hurt like hell, I'm telling you. And you know what he would do after he finished the discipline? He would gather me to himself and hold me close while I cried. I didn't know this then, but what he was doing is imaging the loving, righteous Father God to me. Abba, Father, dear Father. When my dad died, I had a really close friend in school named Frank Ewing. Frank's mother, Miriam, told my mom, Frances, you know, Frank said that he would love to share his dad with Daryl. Well, it was a sweet thing to say, but I really didn't have any use for Frank's dad. I wanted my daddy back. I mean, I was 13 years old, and I was still calling him daddy. I hadn't yet started calling him dad or father. I wanted my daddy back. I wish. Now, my dad was a sinner being saved by grace, like every other human on this planet that is in the Lord. But for everyone who has daddy issues, father wounds, I so wish that I could share my dad with you. I wish that you could be held to the bosom of a loving father. held to account, expected to grow, but tenderly loved. I wouldn't know until I was about late 30s, maybe 40, how unusual it was for a farm boy, man's man in the early 60s to still be kissing a 13-year-old boy goodnight and realized what a rich gift I'd given. I wish that I could share that father's kiss with anyone who'd never had it, with anyone who needs it. But you know what? There's a better deal on the table. The Lord Jesus, who dwells in the bosom of the Father, into whom we are baptized, is more than happy to give you complete access to the bosom of the Father, to welcome you along with himself, to be with him in the bosom of the Father, to be held, to be kissed, to be loved. Prepare your hearts for a moment of silence.